coming up on the screen. Probably slow on them, I don't know why. Computer.
Roxanne,
yes.
Are you Helen?
Yes, I'm your visitor host.
Okay, thank you. Okay, it's working, it's working.
Yay, good job.
Thinking about it. I don't know if that one's the right one. All the technology could just work for me here. Computer shut down, so we might have to unplug it and replug it in. Okay, it's a good sign.
Yeah,
so let me just get it to the front. And open it up. Slideshow from the beginning. Is it on?
Yep.
It's on. Yay. Okay. Okay. Welcome. I think we're just about on time. All right, everyone's here for Seven Secrets to Mind-Body Medicine. Mm-hmm. All right, who is helping people with pain or illnesses within their practice now? Okay, quite a few. Great. So you probably have some good experience along the way. We're going to go through the different ways that we can apply hypnosis to helping people with their health, whether it's chronic illness or pain management. Some states you're not really allowed to say pain, but there's other ways we can talk about it. And so we're going to go through these kind of top seven practices that we can apply. And they're going to give you some kind of overarching stuff. Now along the way, I'm also going to introduce like a couple of processes and how you can add that into working with your clients. And So hypnosis is mind-body medicine. We're exploring the different levels of interactions of mind and body. And really, hopefully, in this topic today, I hope to help create a paradigm shift for you. So a lot of how we've learned to see the body is through the biochemical model of how Western medicine approaches health and wellness. The body is seen as a machine. It's just a collection of parts, and if a part goes wrong, we just replace it. The other approach is, if it's doing something we don't like, we're going to use biochemical tools to affect its biochemistry to get it to do something different. And as hypnotists, we can bring an expanded approach to health, not only an understanding mind-body interactions, but also helping our clients understand these mind-body interactions. Because so many people have been given a diagnosis and they don't know that there are things that they can do. They don't know, they're not empowered in the face of a big diagnosis. And so we really want to inspire that empowerment back with our clients. Not only does it increase better outcomes, but as people are taking charge of their health, they're building up new resources that they can access and use in their day-to-day. And so part of working with clients is kind of a re-education of this paradigm. So here's our agenda. We're looking at the placebo effect first. And I'm kind of wrapping this into my own story of going through an autoimmune condition. We'll get to that. We're going to look at these different levels of how this applies. Okay, so I wasn't always a hypnotist. I was a backpacker. I was an outdoor adventure backpacker, and I spent about 10 years hiking with kids out in the woods, say until they promised to behave, and then we could send them back to their homes. But while the kids are out there, we're out there 24/7, and we've got all of our stuff in our backpack, and we're working with the kids on self-esteem and confidence and taking care of their stuff and natural consequences, right, and how they communicate. And we had psychologists that would come in one day a week, interview the kids, and then give us as counselors their psychology homework. So we kind of had this front row seat of understanding counseling and therapy and how it worked, and we would hold groups, getting encouraging the teens to really talk about their emotions and what's going on with them. So this inspired me to go back to school, and doing my coursework in psychology. I remember one class in particular, we're talking about the placebo effect. Now it's kind of an interesting thing when we talk about the placebo effect, or we hear it talked about, it's often in dismissive terms. Oh, that's just the placebo effect. Oh, you only think you're having effect because you thought you were taking a pill, right? So we're all familiar with kind of that placebo effect research. So that someone can have a symptom relief or a new symptom show up just by the act of taking a sugar pill that has no therapeutic or medication effect to it, right? So the interesting thing, we're watching these documentaries, and this is what one of the things that got me really excited about hypnosis, is we're watching this placebo effect and how people's brains and bodies are responding together to create that effect. At the end, they had someone doing hypnosis for a person that was undergoing brain surgery. They were using no anesthetic, only hypnosis. The guy was awake, talking with the doctors, and felt no pain. I'm like, what is going on here? And so I asked in class, like, this is amazing. This is showing hypnosis is shutting down the pain response, really mind over body, what's going on. And the psychologist was, well, we just believe that people are kind of playing along. You know, most psychologists don't really believe it's real. Now, this was like 20 years ago, so maybe attitudes have changed, and I'm told that some of the attitudes have changed a little bit with hypnosis. But this was, I was just so floored by watching this that I was like, okay, I'm gonna do my own research and find out what's going on with hypnosis. And I got online and looked up a school, found a hypnosis school in my town, and signed up. I was like, if this is mind over body stuff, I want in, right? So I'm learning hypnosis and kind of working through the class. Oh, there's some really interesting things about placebo effect research. So because we've known about this, we've known about the placebo effect, or modern science has known about the placebo effect for almost 300 years. I'm not going to go into the history, but part of what's really interesting about how we're using it now, how we're acknowledging it now, is because people have known about this, researchers have found this effect just by taking a pill that we can experience something different, our body does something different. So since 1962, all medications have to pass results above the placebo. So this is where they'll have one group that has the placebo pill, one that has the test medication, and they're comparing them together. And so the group, how well the medication does, it actually has to exceed the placebo group, right, in order to be approved, in order to show efficacy. So that tells us that research is acknowledging the power of the mind over the body, right? We also know certain factors can affect the results of the pill. Did you know that color can affect the results? A blue pill will have a what effect?
Calming
effect. And a red pill will have a increase, a stimulant effect. Except in Italy, where their main sports team is blue. So it's a little interesting how they're sorting through this. They also found that if the administrator of the pill had a white lab coat, what do you think it would do to the results? Increase the placebo effect. What if they had a clipboard? It would increase signs of authority, right? As hypnotists, we kind of have an insider view to understanding what's going on, especially in the unconscious mind. So placebo effect can account for 50% or more. In some cases, it's even higher of the results. Now, this is what I found phenomenal, that helps us recognize this is not just a trick of the mind. In fact, when I learned about the placebo effect, it was kind of talked about in, oh, it's short-lived results or it's a trick of the mind. In one of these documentaries, and at the end I have notes, if you want them, I'll give you a way to find that out. But I have the links to these two documentaries. It's totally fascinating. So this one in particular, that a knee surgeon said, hey, I want to discover which part of the surgery is actually the most effective. There's part one, which is to rinse out the knee, you know, make an opening and rinse out the knee. Part two is to go in and clean up any of the rough cartilage. And he's like, can I just compare this part to this part? And he went to, you know, set up the research, and his colleague said, no, you have to have a placebo group. Placebo surgery? Okay, so they created the placebo group. They followed the results. The people in the placebo group had just as good results as the people who went in the actual surgery. There was no significant difference between each of the groups. So it wasn't just, and they even followed up with them 2 to 5 years later. So it wasn't just a trick of the mind. It wasn't short-term results. Something had activated to actually help the body heal itself. So we know mind-body results are real, right? And kind of the bigger question for us as hypnotists, how can we utilize that and activate that for our clients? So part of my own story about this topic is, so in the summers I was whitewater rafting guide, and typically I would work backpacking in the winter. So yes, like snow camping and stuff. But in about this window of time, 2006, I was getting ready in the training groups for another season of whitewater rafting, and I'm noticing big fat bruises on my arms. My colleague's like, hey, you really should go get it checked out. I'm like, doctors? I don't need doctors. Anyway, so I decided to get it checked out. And the doctor, I remember the day, I was sitting in her office. She looked over her glasses at me and said, Holly, I'm sorry to inform you, you have the markers for an autoimmune condition. I didn't understand. What do you mean autoimmune? At the time, there was a lot less people who had autoimmune. It was less well known. So she explained it. You know, your body, you've been having exhaustion, and this skin rash is an allergy to the sun. Okay, let that sink in for a backpacker whitewater rafting diet. And she's like, you cannot do the things you were doing before. You have to cut, you can't do the intensive exercise or activity because it could create a flare-up for your immune system to attack your tissues. And I was floored. It was like my whole world turned upside down. How, like, I had to quit my job. What was I going to do? Be cloistered in my room? I couldn't go hiking. I couldn't be out in the sunlight. So my whole world flipped upside down. Around the same window of time, I was finishing up certifications in hypnosis and NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. And I'm like, okay, there has to be more to the story here. I can be my own guinea pig. I'm going to figure this out. So I had hope. I'd seen the placebo effect research. I knew something is going on, and I wasn't willing to resign myself to a lot of what they were telling me. They said the best thing we can do is give you this medication to reduce the effects, but it'll probably give you cancer in 10 years, and maybe something better will come along. So, you know, doctors also have the nocebo effect. So we can just cancel that one out. So as I started doing my research, I'm like, okay, doctors are great for a certain window of knowledge that they've studied and that they're working from, but I'm understanding there must be a bigger picture as to what's going on, so I'm going to do my own research. So especially if your clients have some kind of condition or illness, encourage them to also do their research. Now, some of the research I found was kind of heartbreaking. A lot of the main sites of autoimmune said things like, most people, it's degenerative over time, it just gets worse, you're likely to, you know, 50%, you'll be in a wheelchair. So some of the prognosis is not so helpful. But what I started to find is there's a health epidemic in this country. About 1 in 2 people has some form of chronic disease. And now it's actually 6 in 10. The time I was doing the research, it was like 1 in 2. 1 in 5 Americans has an autoimmune condition, and these are also on the rise. So what is going on? What's happening that we're having these high cases of chronic illnesses in our country? So kind of being a detective, kind of wanted to understand what's going on. So at the time I was working with a naturopath, which was super helpful because, again, they have a more expanded model. There are other things we can do. So as hypnotists, here is definitely one area that we can work with our clients. Chronic illness, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, all of these things, we call them lifestyle illnesses. They can certainly be helped by changing habits, changing food habits. We can work with them. Often, I'll get clients coming in for weight loss, and then they'll tell me, I can't really exercise because I have this chronic condition or this autoimmune condition. So these are other places that you can also give them a little more hope, helping them recognize, well, even with that, there are things that we can do to improve what you're doing with the doctor, right? So I wouldn't tell clients to, like, go against their doctor. I would say it's an addition to what you're doing, what treatments you're doing, that you can increase your outcomes by lifestyle changes. And we work with these all the time, right? Helping people change their diet, their food habits. I started to look at diet and food habits as part of this process. And my background before I came to even backpacking was I certified as an herbalist, kind of a natural health junkie. And in our herbalist training, we would talk about let food be your medicine. That food is here and it can actually help your body have the building blocks that it needs to do what you need it to do, to heal and repair. And I heard of really amazing results with herbs. I had been using herbs on my own, so I'm like, okay, I went through this training, I'm going to apply it to this. And there was kind of some, there was a couple of herbs that they recommended. I put it in my smoothie every morning religiously. I was eating that. And after a week, well, at first, because the naturopath said, well, we can try the alternative route first. So I was like, yeah, let's do that, because I had some of this background. After doing this for about the first week, I could hardly walk. It was so inflamed in my joints, and it just felt so painful to move. I was like, I can't do this. Let's go for the drugs, which was another entire story. But the background of whole foods eating is still pretty solid. And so around this window of time, I'm exploring kind of different diets. What should I eat? Working with a naturopath, we did an allergy testing. Nothing really came up. I had like a slight allergy to pea and a slight allergy to corn, but I wasn't really eating those anyway, right? So I had a visit with a rheumatologist. Well, here's the reaction to some of the medication that they gave me. Actually, I had major side effects with it and ended up in the hospital. So I kind of had a double whammy. And trying to recover from that, I did write a book about it. Well, we'll talk about that later. So I went to the rheumatologist as one of the visits after I was recovering from all the side effects. And I asked the rheumatologist, I was kind of excited to see her. So a rheumatologist, anybody know what they're in charge of? Yes?
I worked with a rheumatologist. I'm a nurse practitioner. So autoimmune thing stuff has come a long way since the 80s.
Yeah.
You might have been on prednisone or methotrexate. Those are the oldest, and some of them, you know, they weren't understood the way they are now. There's a lot more. I'm just saying, you know, luckily I was working with a very holistic guy who was a rheumatologist, but also very open to anything we did. So, your original question was?
Rheumatologist.
Oh, yeah. So rheumatologists work with mostly arthritis, lupus, irritable bowel disease. Type 1 diabetes is also a autoimmune process. Thyroid often problems are caused by.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah,
there's so many, many others, but anyway.
So, yes, the classification of autoimmune, there's actually 100 different autoimmune diseases, and they're categorized by what area the immune system is affecting, right? So it's a huge category. So going to the rheumatologist, now a rheumatologist is specifically dealing with inflammation in the body. So I'm like, okay, she probably has some good information. It's good to know that things have changed over the last 20 years. But I asked the rheumatologist, what should I eat? She said, oh, it's your immune system, so it doesn't matter. Eat whatever you want.
No, we would never say that.
The herbalist in me is like going nuts. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
So about the same window of time, started to do a little more research on my own and come to find out that there are foods that cause an inflammatory pathway in your body. And there are foods that cause an anti-inflammatory pathway. And so these, like, helping people recognize, okay, what are high inflammatory foods? Maybe they have foods that they can just switch out. When I do the healthy lifestyle weight loss program, it's so much for people to try to change everything at once. Of course, if they have a chronic illness or autoimmune, they're probably highly motivated. But what if you can just change out one thing once a week, one week, find just a way to change it up? So the big ones that I found for me were dairy. A little bit of dairy would cause inflammation, but it didn't necessarily happen all at once. It might be a couple of days having, you know, milk in my coffee or cream in my coffee, and it would kind of have a build-up effect. So, but this might be a way, more inflammatory foods, so think of inflammation increasing the space between your cells. It's increasing that, it's causing your body to release histamine, and it's carrying more water weight, and so it's actually increasing the pressure on your cells, which creates more pain. So if people have chronic illness, they probably also have inflammation. So this is also a way, and it's great if you can find partners within your network, great naturopaths, holistic practitioners, that understand what people can do that you feel good referring them to. I eventually found some really good doctors and people that are great, and I love referring people to them because I know they're going to get a much bigger understanding of what's going on and what they can be in charge of, what they can do for themselves. So typically I tell my clients, your anti-inflammatory foods, now there are some exceptions, there are grains that are inflammatory versus others, but helping people maybe find a balance. Typically your fruits and vegetables have things like antioxidants, they have phytonutrients that unlock the pathways of enzymes so your body can process things, and they actually create more reduction of that inflammation response. So of course, you know, have them work with somebody that understands some of this. But even if they start just changing out one or two foods, they can quickly see a difference. So around the same window of time, I was actually working with a woman who was setting up like wellness clinics. She was setting up healthy lifestyle, healthy eating classes with wellness clinics. And I was working out of a massage therapy clinic. And so with her program, I found it was really like solid, research-based, and started to adopt that, and then I started adding hypnosis to it. So I found it not only useful for me, but my clients, after kind of recognizing, you know, staying away from some of these top allergen foods, let's go back to whole foods eating here. In the whole foods eating, as we're adopting this to release weight, people are coming back after about 10 days and saying things like, the inflammation in my hands, I don't have any more pain in my hands. I can actually get on the floor and play with my grandkids because we're adopting a healthy eating that supports their body reducing that inflammation. So it can be a really, it can have a significant difference for clients in a very short window of time. So especially if you have people with autoimmune, this is kind of where I like to start. And often before they come to hypnosis, they have some understanding of this too. But they can, by keeping the anti-inflammatory foods in balance, they can find results quickly. And so this really had an effect for me. And within about, after adopting, you know, cutting out some of the more inflammatory foods, particularly I did some cutting out the dairy was a big one, and reducing the meat intake as well. But it reduced it by about 50%, but it still wasn't quite enough for me. So again, in this program that I was working with, created by Dr. Sherry Lieberman, had two PhDs, nutrition science and exercise science, and really the segment about top allergen foods made a lot of sense. Top allergen foods, milk, eggs, soybeans, wheat, fish, shellfish, tree nuts, and peanuts. Now these are the top foods. People can have allergies that aren't on the list, but these are the most common ones that people's bodies are reacting to. And again, when I started to understand this for myself, that I could eat wheat and feel fine, but if I had like a sandwich every day, 3 days in a row, I would notice it had this kind of accumulative effect or this buildup effect. So here's where it gets really tricky for people. Is because they might have an allergy to two or three of these things. And it may not just be one thing, but even just a little bit can cause that reaction in their gut, which then creates a whole cascade of effects of that inflammation. And naturopaths have told me that they really believe underlying every health condition, there's inflammation that is underlying the condition. So reducing that inflammation response can actually help people decrease pain, feel more mobile, and really kind of restore how their body is meant to be operating. So in her book, she wrote a book called The Gluten Connection. This is Dr. Sherry Lieberman. It's estimated that the people who have celiac disease is actually a very small part. It's maybe 1% of the population. But in her research, as she was going through looking at multiple studies, she started to recognize patterns that people might have, people who have the actual diagnosis of celiac disease, although that's very small, there's a greater percentage of the population that has an inflammatory response to wheat, even 1 in 5. So about, well, she said it was about 18%, close to 20%. And she recognized there's a distinction between having the full-blown allergy versus having the sensitivity. Having the sensitivity could be enough inflammation to kind of set off more of that inflammation response. So in the healthy weight loss program that I was working with at the time, they encourage people, and I do still, to do a gluten-free trial because so much, there's such a high percentage of the population that actually has a sensitivity to it. To clean it out of your diet for 2 weeks, add a little bit back in, and see how your body responds. If you feel fine, if your digestion feels good, great. It may not be part of it, right? But for the other people, it makes such a big difference. So in every class I've run, about 50% of the people that have had a hard time losing weight, that have had a hard time with pain or inflammation, they notice a significant response with cutting wheat out of their diet. And then, she estimated that the prevalence of gluten sensitivity is higher, and I think it's actually on the rise. And there is some talk that it may not be the wheat itself. Gluten is a protein found in wheat, rye, oats, and barley. So it may not be the protein itself. It might just be the glyphosate and how they're processing wheat that is creating the inflammation response so that people's systems are reacting to. So about this same similar window of time, I was also going through psychology classes. And in health psychology class, they're looking at how our body is responding. They said the picture of health we know is bigger than just that biochemical model, that there's more going on. And the research is showing that our psychology can affect our biology. And even our social connections can affect our biology. If we have uplifting, supportive people, it creates healthier outcomes, right? If we have the quality of the thoughts and the feelings that we have can also affect our biology as well. So in the health psychology class, they called it the biopsychosocial model. And starting to recognize all of these factors are interacting together. Now, as hypnotists, we know we can really kind of work in the thoughts and feelings category. If people have a habit of negative thoughts that are affecting their biology, well, we can change those habits, those thoughts and feelings, and it'll actually affect how well their body is functioning. It can actually affect their body. Or even, maybe if people have, you might have run into this, they have a wife come in or a husband come in, and like, my partner is, I can't stand my partner. They're doing things that are really pissing me off. And as you kind of work with them through a series, start to recognize they're having a reaction because of their own mental blocks, not necessarily what the partner's doing. Right? So our social connections and interactions play into this as well. In fact, this is from the Center of Disease Control. 90% of doctor visits are stress-related in some form. And stress, we know, actually causes more inflammation. It's one of those factors. So this is, if people are going through chronic illness or autoimmune, reducing the amount of stress can be a very helpful part of that as well. So 90% of doctor visits are stress-related, cardiovascular disease, mental health disorders. In fact, if people have stress relief, any of the other symptoms improve, right? Obesity, eating disorders, cravings, immune system, digestive issues. I'm just reading the main categories. As hypnotists, this is one of our most foundational skill sets, is that stress relief response. How can we help people? Just the element of helping people relieve stress has positive effects on their biology. So, think about the things that cause you stress. Let's hear them. Shout them out.
Most everything.
Traffic.
Spouse, work,
money, bills,
relationships.
Kids, relationships. So it's not just these things that are causing us stress, it's what we think about them, right? Like, there's very little, we're not in the same stress zone that our ancestors were. Like, we're going to be chased by a tiger and, you know, have to run for our lives. But our body, our nervous system is responding the same way. It's responding to that immediate threat. And when we're stressed, it activates the fight or flight response, right? So in the fight or flight response, the stress response, what happens to the heart rate? It increases. What about blood pressure? It increases. How many people in the world at large, not in this room, how many people are on blood pressure medication now? Okay, could they be helped by stress response, stress relief? Blood is directed to the muscles. And here's the big one that makes a huge difference that we don't. Well, you guys all get it. You understand that the mind affects the body. But if you're running like a class or a workshop, you can talk to people about our mind is actually directing our body into the stress. And it has all of these other effects. So when we get stressed, our body physically releases hormones, epinephrine, cortisol, adrenaline, causing the body to go into the fight or flight response. And those hormones also increase inflammation. The body reduces its digestive activity, and it's going into fight or flight. So the opposite end, think of the nervous system as two ends. One is the fight or flight response, autonomic nervous system. There's sympathetic. So autonomic is, I like to think of it as automatic nervous system. Sympathetic is the stress response, and parasympathetic is the relaxation response. So it's working in one section or the other. It's kind of being pulled by those two sides. So in the relaxation response, what happens to heart rate? It decreases. Blood pressure
decreases.
Blood is directed to the organs. The body is working on digestion. So some people call this, well, here it said, like, this is fight or flight, and this is rest and digest. So when we activate the relaxation response, the body goes into its healing and repair cycle. It recycles the hormones, digestion improves, it works on antibodies, and it works on updating the immune system. So the more we can get people into that relaxation response, having them create a relaxation response that they can take themselves into or meditation, it can support their health and their outcomes, right? So there's a really great article called 20 Benefits of Meditation Proven by Science. And it just has all of these. Now, these are all scientifically supported evidence for these benefits. And the big ones are decreases inflammation and also decreases pain, increases hope, positivity, improves empathy and quality of life. And this is where our body does natural healing and repair. So again, this is part of the foundation stuff that we can work with hypnosis. And educating the public, holding a free workshop. I like to do open workshops. Typically, it's been once a month, but just getting the word out there. As hypnotists, you all know mind affects the body, but the world at large is still kind of waking up to that understanding. So when I do a class on health benefits of stress relief, we'll go through ocean waves meditation. And I'll have everyone take their pulse. Okay. I'll have them take their pulse and we'll count the numbers in a 15-second window. And then I'll go take everybody into 10-minute relaxation, and then we'll recheck the pulse and get the numbers. And what happens is people see this spread of numbers. This is your heart rate. You're not supposed to be able to be in charge of lowering your heart rate. But just the way of relieving that meditation and going into that relaxation response will actually drop those numbers. I've seen them drop by like 3 points, which is 4, 12, like 12 to 30 points, which is very fast, right? So this is kind of a fun activity to do if you're hosting a class, to give people an experience of, oh, just even 10 minutes of meditation. It doesn't have to be an hour on the mountaintop or a whole day out by yourself in the woods. Well, that is great, but even 10 minutes can activate more of that relaxation response. And that term relaxation response was coined by Herbert Benson, and he has a bunch of research. He noticed he was working with EKG, electrocardiograph, and brain mapping people, and found that the transcendental meditators had different brainwave patterns. So it's kind of a fascinating book, but it really talks about that relaxation response. So kind of I'm going through my own process, trying to figure out, okay, how can I optimize healthy eating plan? I'm kind of getting that under control around a similar window of time. It was kind of a slow process for me to figure out all of these layers. But I had a case come in, and this was Ryan. He had irritable bowel syndrome for 4 years. And he said he was at the clinic, and the doctor had run the test and said there's really no like physical biochemical explanation for this, so he referred him to me, and he said it's possibly stress related. So when we kind of dove into understanding, okay, where do you experience irritable bowel? He says, well, it really only shows up when either if I travel or if I'm speaking in a meeting. And he said, you know, it's just so uncomfortable. He had a fiance, and he's like, my fiance wants to travel, but it's so uncomfortable because I always have to know where the restrooms are, and it's so much stress for me because I feel just fine, but then when we start to travel, this response kicks in, and then I have to always know where the bathrooms are. So I would like to travel and really enjoy it with her, rather than just avoiding everything. And he said, by the way, if I could actually get over this and travel, then I could take a different traveling job in my work. He was in sales, and I could make more money, and it would be a great promotion, but I don't feel comfortable taking it if I don't have this under control. And the medications that he had been on were not working over time. And they kind of worked in the beginning, but over time they weren't working. So as we dug in, okay, what's your history with this? So we know that there's two instances where the symptoms come up, travel and speaking. And so asked him, what are your first memories of travel? He's like, oh, well, I just remember being a little kid. My parents had gotten divorced. And my mom was pretty unstable. She couldn't really hold a job. And I remember I had this little brown leather satchel with my clothes in it. And we would kind of bounce from one relative's home to another, sleeping on the couch, and I kind of see myself clutching that little suitcase. So what kind of messages has his mind picked up about the travel?
Stress.
Travel means stress. Travel means maybe chaos, instability, don't know what's happening in the world, right? So we helped his mind create some new associations and cleaned up the pattern with speaking. And then his results, his testimonial, I had him write a testimonial in his own words. He said, I found things that I could tap into. So we were basically addressing that, I like to call it internalized stress. It's not stress happening now, but things in the now are triggering stress from the past. So we cleaned up that history and gave his mind new things to focus on. And then I also like to tell him there's kind of two parts to this. One is that there's kind of the initial event that started the snowball effect, but then part of that can also be the habit, that the habit over time kind of gets reinforced. So as we clean up the past, we want to give the mind a new habit to do instead, right? So we want to give it new meanings. Travel means adventure. Travel means fun, happy, excited. So gave him some new things to focus on and some new tools that he could work with. I also like to record the sessions so that people can use that as a refresher to help reinforce or to get their brain back on track.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
There's irritable bowel syndrome and then there's irritable bowel disease. So irritable bowel syndrome is a proven, you know, there's wonderful studies, where hypnosis really can affect it. Irritable bowel disease is more like celiac disease, and Crohn's disease, and those really, really intense things. And mostly younger people in their early 20s and late teens, they get that. So it's important to be aware of that. I mean, it can, you know, hypnosis could help with those symptoms, but it might not. Like, this could be cured with hypnosis, like, pretty quickly.
It's going to depend. Of course, if they come in with a diagnosis, you can kind of recognize that distinction. But think of it as that internalized stress. Repeat the question. So that wasn't really a question. It was more like there's a distinction between irritable bowel syndrome versus irritable bowel disease. And so irritable bowel syndrome might respond more to the brain-body stuff rather than the disease model. Okay. So I started, when Ryan came in, I started to look for, okay, what's my internalized stress? What are the stress things in my life that could be triggering the internal stress? And around the same window of time, I'm trying to figure out, you know, what's the recipe for healthy eating and keeping my body in kind of a calmer state. And I'm also a new hypnotist and an NLP practitioner, and had just graduated from college with, you know, psychology degree. And I'm like, I'm going to go to the networking event and I am going to promote hypnosis and tell everybody about the effects of it and what it can do. And I noticed that in these big networking events, I would stand up to speak, even though, like, I was on debate team and I was comfortable with public speaking. I remember one event in particular, I stood up to speak and my face totally flushed red. I'm like, what is this? I'm a good public speaker. Well, I kind of use a process, you know, process looking back to where this first started. And what came to mind was a memory where I was standing up to speak in my church. I was probably about 12, 13. And I had a poem to share and I had memorized it. And I stood up to share it. And I lost my train of thought. And I couldn't remember the next line. So I started again from the top of the poem. And the birds in the blue sky, and the birds in the blue sky. And then I had just totally blanked the last half of the poem. So I stood there for what felt like ages. And the kids are starting to snicker and bump each other's shoulder. Finally, I just sat down. I was so embarrassed. So I recognized that when I was getting up, even though I was an adult, right, getting up to speak and networking, there was kind of this extra element of stress that was running in the background, even though at a conscious level, I'm like, oh, I'm confident, I got this, right? So you can also kind of play the detective with your client. Where are they feeling? Where do they feel symptoms come on more? Where are they experiencing kind of flare-ups? I would notice that I would have more of a flare-up the day after a networking event. And so in clearing out my own past history of those stress events, I could keep my system more calm, right? And then diving in to recognize... Here's another way that we help clients is cleaning up that internalized stress. This is some new research coming out, a cumulative study of childhood stress and autoimmune disease by the National Institute of Health found that childhood traumatic stress increased the likelihood of hospitalization with diagnosed autoimmune disease decades into adulthood. And these findings are consistent with other studies as well. Early life stress has an increased inflammatory response in our later years. They also found a higher case of obesity, higher case of diabetes, chronic conditions, heart disease, in connection with people had more ACEs, adverse childhood events or traumas in their past, they would also have higher instances of some of these other illnesses, these chronic illnesses, or autoimmune. So by cleaning up that history, the traumas or the chronic illness, we can also start helping people's systems balance more, keep kind of that, maintaining that relaxation response and balance. Okay, so we're looking at biopsychosocial. And now this next secret, they are principles. They might be principles more than secrets. But if we start recognizing pain as a signal. And so typically when people have pain or headache, what do? I'm going to take a pill, take a aspirin, kind of tell the mind to quiet it down, right? And so we kind of have this habit of recognizing pain but covering it up. Oh, that's my bum leg or my bum knee, and then we dismiss it, right? And so what if pain, I kind of think of it as like a red flag. Hey, something's wrong. You know, and the body is saying, hey, something's wrong. We go and see the doctor. And something may or may not be accounted for in the doctor visit. But if we start to recognize pain as a signal from the unconscious mind, I kind of interuse subconscious, unconscious. But if we start recognizing it as a signal, what is it telling us? So here's where we kind of expand that model. Instead of seeing the body as kind of a machine, what if we started to recognize it as a collection of intelligence? What if we started to recognize it as how it interfaces with our subconscious mind? In fact, I think it's Joe Dispenza, I heard him on one show that said, the body is the subconscious mind. I would maybe say it as the subconscious mind expresses through the body. And so here's the paradigm shift as well. Often when people think they have an illness or chronic illness or disease, we learn to pick up, in fact I heard this in my own story along the way, hear things like, oh, your body has turned against you. Yeah, and we say that with your immune system is attacking your own tissues. It's turned against you, and there's kind of this sense of being at war with our body, right? But if we can recognize, hey, pain is not being at war with us, yes, it's doing something we don't like, something that's uncomfortable, But if we recognize it as a signal telling us, hey, something's wrong, well, can we pay attention to that message and actually help it shift what it's doing? So with the background of NLP, we looked at, I went through NLP Health, which looks at how can we use these skills for the body as well. And in that model, instead of seeing the body as a biochemical machine that we can't control or do anything about, recognize more as the body is intelligent. We have generations, millennia of history with our ancestors moving through, adapting to different areas. And the body has programs in how to heal itself. If you get a cut on your finger, put a Band-Aid on it, it's not the Band-Aid that actually heals the cut, right? It's that the body has a program. It knows how to create the connections across the cut to start knitting those cells and tissues back together. So as the body has a program for that, what if we started recognizing the body's natural intelligence and started working with it rather than trying to just shut down what it's doing? So, okay. So here's an example. This is a tool that I learned in hypnosis class that I found very interesting. It's the one minute headache cure. And we're going to break up into pairs here in a minute so you can walk each other through this. But this is, I had just learned some of these skills, and I was at one of the wellness clinics, our Portland clinic, and we had a couple of massage therapists, an acupuncturist, and a chiropractor in the space, and we're setting up for this event. We're going to do a meet and greet, and we're getting ready for this, and the massage therapist is telling me, oh, I just feel drained. I don't know if I can do this. I might have to go home. I'm feeling like a migraine coming on. So I said, hey, let's explore what the migraine is telling you. Let's see if we can help it shift. And so after doing the one-minute headache cure with her, she reported, wow, I'm feeling better. My energy is coming back. And I even feel available to help people. And she was able to finish out the two-hour event and then go home and get a good night's sleep. So this is how it worked. There's about six steps to it. I like this process because it is so concise. It's very streamlined. And I'm happy to share my notes with you guys. Okay. We're about halfway through. So the first part is to, instead of dismissing it or covering it up, let's pay attention to it. Right? So the first part is to have the person notice, where do you feel that? And often if they have a headache, which is kind of what I've used this process with most, but you could probably also use that on, well, I have used it on other body pains as well. But you have them point to it. Typically it's localized. Oh, it's at the front of my head. It's at the back of the head. The second part, imagine you could just pull it out, hold it out in front of you. If it had a shape and color, what does it look like? First thing that comes to mind. She said it looks like a green blob. Okay, so what are we doing with pulling it out and holding it in front of you? We're kind
of disassociating.
Because a lot of times we say things like, oh, that's my pain. But it helps your mind get a new perspective, right? So we pull it out. What does it look like? And then very quickly, I ask, what does it want? First thing. It's like, it wants rest. So, okay. The next part, let's give it what it wants in a metaphoric, symbolic way. So, she had had a long day, that's true, but she didn't really have rest on the immediate agenda, right? But, if we could create a symbol or a metaphor of rest, what would that look like? She said, my pillow. Okay, let's give that green blob a pillow. And imagine that this green blob stuff, the parts that are doing that, can actually just kind of take a break, can just rest and hang out with the pillow. And now we're going to have the intelligence that we pulled out, had it switch its focus. So now that it's got something new to focus on, can these parts just focus on having that rest and carrying it with you in the background of your mind, allowing you to be totally functional until tonight when you can get a deep, restful sleep? How would that feel? Would that be okay? Now she's checking in with that part. Can it focus on just experiencing rest in the background? And we know as hypnotists, you don't have to do anything to create a feeling, right? You can just access a feeling. So put the part in charge of the rest, and now get the agreement. Is it willing to focus on the rest in the background while the rest of her is busy? She got a yes, and now we thank it, and then tuck it back in. The last one is integrate, inviting that back in along with the pillow, the image, the metaphor, letting it radiate through to the top of the head, the bottoms of the feet. And I like to say, as the unconscious mind is updating to all of those places, coming back to your everyday awareness, how does it feel to you now? After a minute, she's like, wow, it's not really pain anymore. It's more like gentle pressure. And she says, oh, it's relieving. It feels better and better. So this is a really fun one that you
can. But I ask him usually about secondary benefits, like not just what does it want. I ask like what the good thing it's trying to bring to you, to your body.
Yeah. So yeah, and the secondary benefit. Yeah. She wanted a break. She wanted to go home.
Yeah, and usually right. They have some answers.
Yeah.
And not everybody likes to put it back.
Well, nobody once you change it,
yeah,
you know, so you're actually.
I want to put away. Not everybody.
Well,
it depends on the class.
I would say it depends. It depends on what you're working with too. But whatever you're pulling out, mostly what you're pulling out of your system represents part of your mind that is running the program. So it's part of your own consciousness or intelligence. And then we get into, you can pick up stuff from other people. So then it gets a little more convoluted. But the idea is we're actually just giving it new focus. Now, this is very closely related to parts work with NLP, but it's just a little simpler, streamlined approach. But it also works very quickly. In fact, I was at one of the other hypnosis conferences, and a guy came up, and he was in a little speeder thing, you know, that was a scooter, because he was having a hard time walking. And we were just chatting at my booth, and he says, I can walk, he said, but it's just like so uncomfortable because I have this pain in my back. So we ran this process. Imagine pulling it out. What does it want? First thing. And he was feeling stuck in his life. So sometimes what it wants is not an immediate response. So it was feeling stuck. He wanted a change. He wanted to change his work. So instead of working for another company where he was feeling unsupported, he wanted to start growing his hypnosis practice. So we actually did very similar to this. Gave that part of him something to focus on, internalizing a sense of his purpose and commitment to what he wanted to create, tucked it back in. He came back the next day. He was walking. He didn't have to have the wheelie scooter. He says, my back feels great. I feel like I've been walking all day, and I'm able to do everything that I, you know, need to do. So it can work very quickly. You have a question?
Yes. Have you ever asked someone that question, and they said, I don't know?
So the thing is, when people pull it out and hold it out in front of them, it becomes dissociated. So with that, and I also like to use it very quickly, that first thing that comes to mind. There's a distinction between kind of how our conscious mind operates, where we're logical, rational, we need to think and reason, weigh, and judge to come up with a response. Versus our automatic mind, I like to think of it as the 90% below the surface, it's able to process very quickly. In fact, it can sum up large amounts of information, positives, negatives, and give you an instant response, right? And so, like, here's a good example of that, like how quick. think about exercise. Scale of 1 to 10, how much do you like to exercise? First number that comes to mind?
20.
You guys have numbers? 7?
8?
0. Okay, whatever number came up for you is based on your history with exercise. What if you have great experiences, great comrades, team sports, you probably have like a really high number. But if you were embarrassed in PE class, if you were made to run around in your little shorts, or was picked last for dodgeball, all of this kind of goes into that history of how your unconscious mind is seeing it. So the point of that is kind of doing that quick response, and I like to click my fingers.
Do you think, so my husband had back surgery the beginning of this year, so he's healing, he's now walking, but with a cane. So do you think this same idea?
So there might be some other things involved, but it couldn't hurt.
Okay.
You know? Repeat the question. She said she had a friend with back surgery this year?
Yeah, my husband.
Okay. And wondering if this process would work for him. So there are typically some other things that I do if people know that something has a physical injury. Well, this might be a good way to explain that. So I went through meditation training in my early 20s, and just that window after, I was backpacking with kids, and we call it dirt skiing. You climb up to like a dirt dune, and you jump off and see how far you can get, and then you land, and because the ground is kind of soft, it doesn't hurt, right? Which the third time down, I heard my leg snapped, it like spiral fractured both bones in my right leg. And I'm like, something's not working here. And it was a really bad break. But because of the meditation training, and this might be a good fit for your husband, is to have him go into light meditative hypnosis state and tune into his body and imagine healing. Imagine like healing and repairing. So when I was laid up with my leg, I was a teenager at the time. I'm like, I don't have to worry about it. My body's going to take care of it. I'm just going to read books. And so I got really into these books. 3 weeks later, went back to get my x-rays. The doctor's like, your leg isn't healing like it should. You're young. It should be healing better than this. If it doesn't heal, we're going to have to do another surgery. Okay. Got to use all my meditation skills. So every day, I just imagined going down into my leg and imagined seeing the place where the break was and use like light and imagine knitting the bones back together. And 4 weeks later, went back for a check-in. The doctor's like, this is amazing. It's healed far beyond what we thought it would do at this point. You're able to get your cast off. So that internal, like this is another kind of point to that, which is really good for injury, post-surgery or pre-surgery, is to imagine the body repairing itself. You're giving your mental focus, your attention to it, and imagining the system repair. But it works really well for injury or surgery and chronic illnesses. It's like there's more collection of things rather than a specific injury. Okay, if we have time, which we might, we'll go through kind of a process of tuning into your body and starting to talk with it, you know, and asking it what it wants and needs. But I want you guys to get the exercise, the experience of working with each other with this. So I'll do one demo, and then you guys can split up into pairs. So, are you volunteering?
Yeah, I'm having a headache.
Perfect. All right. All right, so go ahead and stand up here.
Okay.
All right, so the first part, locate it. Go ahead and point to, you said you feel a headache?
Yeah.
So where do you feel it? It's at the top of the head? Okay. And now on the count of three, go ahead and hold your hand there. On the count of three, I'm going to have you just suck out all of that stuff. Just one, two, three. Hold it out in front of you. If it had a shape, a color, what does it look like? First thing?
It's an oval shape.
It's an oval shape? I'm going to throw this one in there. Does this belong to you or somebody else? First thing?
Belongs to me.
Okay. And this oval shape, what does it actually want? First thing?
Want to relax.
Wants to relax. And so what would be an image or symbol of relaxing?
A warm blanket.
Okay, wonderful. So give it a warm blanket. What color would that warm blanket be?
Blue.
Blanket would be blue, and imagine that part just wrapping up in all that blue. And now we're going to ask that part, is it willing to switch its focus to just focusing on that warm blanket that it can carry, rest with you in the background while your conscious mind is busy and functional until tonight when you can get a deep, deep, restful sleep. Would that be okay? Got an agreement? Okay, and go ahead and invite it back into your head along with that warm blanket and all that rest, letting it radiate through to the top of your head, to the bottoms of your feet as your unconscious mind is updating through all those places. And you'll find your energy coming back in this area, just feeling better and better. How is it feeling now? Doesn't feel the headache. We should check this before. Kind of pain scale, 1 to 10. What was it before?
4 was like a 4.
4, and now she doesn't have it. So 1, what is the body doing? How can we work with it, acknowledge it, give it what it wants, and sometimes we make an agreement with it. Okay, we'll get back to, like, we'll get a deep rest after. Okay, great. Yeah, but before you go. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions for, sorry, what was your name?
Michelle.
Any questions for Michelle?
Feels like she's in shock.
Yeah, like, I was shook in emotion.
An emotion coming up?
And I feel almost in a trance, like all the attention focus kind of color. That should be the blanket. And at that moment, before I even put my hand back, it's already kind of disappearing. Probably already disappeared.
Okay.
But it feels even better when I put it back. I just feel the warmth kind of.
Feels better when you tucked it back in?
Yeah.
And then you said it kind of felt emotional?
Yes.
Do you want to, is it okay to share what the emotion was?
Because I have this headache for like probably 2-3 days.
2-3 days?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Very good. Let's give her a round of applause. Thank you, Michelle. So I like it because it's just streamlined and really easy, right? Do you guys all feel comfortable following the steps and walking each other through? Okay. So this comes up when we do the partner share. What if I don't have a headache?
Yeah.
Do I have a body pain? Anyone have some kind of body pain? We have one or two. Usually when I do it in a class, like even though the class is like maybe 30-year-olds up, half the class will have some sort of body pain. So you can do a body pain. You can also do something you want to let go of. Oh, I have ADHD. I can't focus. Imagine pulling, can't focus out. Does that make sense? The concept of something? Okay. All right, so I'll leave the steps up here. Go ahead and get into partners. One's the facilitator, one's the explorer. And just walk each other through.
Hi there.
Oh, all right.
And I'm here if you get stuck. Just raise your hand and I'll.
Yeah.
Image, metaphor. It's focus, and now we've got the yes, that's the agreement, and now invite it back as a happy face.
Not a good So, my thing is, my people that are less than that, So basically the problem I run into is his father would come up
Okay, let's go ahead and refocus up here. Okay, let's come back to refocusing. Does anyone have, like, sounds like you guys had pretty good results in just even a few short minutes here. Anyone have one that they'd like to share? Something that was kind of like an aha? Or... Okay, you have one?
Yeah, I've been having for several weeks just like a very sharp, piercing pain right here in the base of my thumb. Nothing's wrong with it. I can do everything. It moves. It's fine. It's just sharp right here. And so we talked to it, and it manifested like a gray shard of glass.
Okay. So she said she had sharp pain in her thumb for, you said, like 2 weeks. And that when you pulled it out, it looked like a gray shard of glass.
Yeah.
Okay.
What it wanted was a rose color or pink warm water.
And it wanted rose color, pink warm water.
I don't know why.
Okay. And then?
And then we went ahead and did that, and it started to dissolve even before I put it back.
Okay.
And when I put it back, can't say all the way gone, I would say it would be like 95%.
Okay, 95%. So she gave it the rose pink water and invited it back into the thumb, and now it's like 95% gone. And it's been there 2 weeks. Right?
Amazing.
So it is amazing. Sometimes there's a little bit of a delay, like a few minutes, while the body catches up to what the mind is doing. All right. So that's great. Yeah. Any questions on this process, like kind of what ifs, or when you kind of troubleshoot or problem solve? You have a question, Michelle?
I mean, it works magically, but what if the pain comes back? What do we do?
Yeah, that's a good question. What if the pain comes back? So in this, let me turn it back to the process. There we go. So in this, we want to make sure we're acknowledging it. If we're using the model, recognizing symptoms or pain as a message from the unconscious mind, we want to respect it, not instead of shutting it down, we're respecting it, asking, okay, what does it want? What does it need? And then giving it whatever it needs and inviting it back in. So this is a quick process. It might not be the complete solution to the pain or discomfort. But what you are doing, you're acknowledging it, and then getting your mind to switch what is running in the background. Often, if we look at pain or health symptoms even as messages, it's giving us information about our life or what we want more of in life. So for the person who's, oh, I've been working all day, I want rest. Well, there can be physical reasons for that, but also it's about kind of balancing maybe your work-life balance. If the pain comes back, run it again. What does it want? I was going to take you guys through, I think we have the time, take you through kind of a guided visualization, tuning into your body, and kind of noticing, okay, what's going on? What does it want? So we're going to kind of use the same strategy. This you could definitely work with your clients, but we're going to kind of do it internally too, to tune into the body, see what it wants, what it needs. What's that?
Pepsi.
Which is code for Pepsi. She came to the craving class earlier, and her knee, can I share?
Yep.
Okay. Her knee was had a pain.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
it's only worse when I drink Pepsi or I eat sugar.
The pain is worse when she drinks sugar, but then she has a craving for Pepsi. So we recognized in the intuitive eating class that Pepsi is really code in the unconscious mind for what?
Peace.
For peace.
For peace.
So what her system is really asking for with the craving is peace.
I just want to relax.
But Pepsi is kind of the anchor to that. Like, oh, everything's okay, I can relax,
yeah.
Right? Where we can use that feeling instead of...
Find
the feeling and internalize that feeling instead of going for a Pepsi. Great, thank you. Okay, so we covered what if it comes back. Other questions? Okay. So if it is a physical injury, sometimes it does need, it's going to have a longer healing window versus so much of, if we look at pain as a signal from the unconscious mind, this is part of just paying attention to that signal and then giving it that acknowledgement and kind of just giving it something new to do while we're finishing up. So many of us have kind of lived with a way of discounting our body. Oh, that's just, you know, everybody, put your big britches on, it's just a little scratch. It's, we're told these things. We're told to shut down pain or told to not pay attention to our body. And so a lot of people, and especially clients with health issues, they might have just had this tendency over time to kind of ignore what their body's doing, right? So giving them a way to kind of be more aware or connected to what the body is doing and bringing in there's an element of respect. Instead of the body gone wrong, the subconscious is trying to give you information. You know, the part that was doing the headache, it wants rest. It wants relaxation. Okay, any other questions on this? Any other what ifs, problem solving? So, you guys are welcome to try this out with your people and family members. And go ahead and let me know what your results are. If you have like some of the stories, they're kind of fun to hear or share. So, I actually do have a Facebook group for practitioners too. So, when I send you the notes, I can send you the link to that too. Gives you just more people that understand our language, right? Okay, so we're going to go through. We're going to go through kind of a short 10-minute tuning into the body. We'll just do some gentle hypnosis, relaxation. And for this, you can pick an area of pain or discomfort. Anybody have body pain? Well, we just kind of cleared it, right? But you can also use a concept. I just want to let go of feeling angsty. You know, I just want to let go of feeling this way or a perspective or something. If you do have a Now, there's kind of a distinction if you're talking with clients. If we want the pain to be stronger, we might call it pain. But if we want it to have a lessening effect, we might call it discomfort. Just in the words that you use can make a difference in how people are coding it, right? So before we start a process, pain, scale of 1 to 10, and then after, okay, what's your comfort level now? We're actually getting the mind to switch to feeling comfort rather than focusing on the pain. So we're going to just tune in. If you have a health issue, or I like to say if there's some part of your body that needs attention. So in this model, we want to recognize that the body is working for us. And if there are things going wrong, it just needs attention. It needs awareness. Or it needs some other elements to help it in its healing journey. And this is also a good place to share. I went through my journey with this condition. I wish I could say it was quicker, you know, to get to cut to the chase. It took me about 10 years to kind of unpack kind of the history of traumas and stress and everything that was going on. But I was with my partner in Portland for like 10 years, and then we broke up. And I was like, I am confident. I am good. I can make it on my own. And then my health started failing. And I was noticing, swelling in my ankles. And I went to the doctor, and they're like, well, here, take LASIK. And just get rid of the extra water weight. But it didn't actually fix the problem. And so eventually I decided to move to Utah and landed in the hospital with congestive heart failure and kidney failure. And I was on the kidney transplant list. And I'm like, when I started to look into it, they invited me. The doctor said, well, it's been 6 months. Your kidneys aren't responding the way that we thought they would. So we're going to put you on the kidney transplant list. Maybe you won't need a kidney, but at least, because there can be years of waiting on the list, so we kind of want to get you in line if you do. So I was doing dialysis to offset what the kidneys were doing. I went to the information meeting, and we watched this little presentation, and I'm like, okay, so after the transplant, you need to take immune-suppressing drugs so your body doesn't attack organs that aren't yours. And the instructor said yes. And how long do you have to take the drugs? The rest of your life. There is no coming off those drugs. And the other thing she said was, I'm like, okay, how much is that going to cost? Like $2,000 a month. I'm like, are you kidding me? So anyway, I was super motivated to talk to my kidneys, like, hey, come on, kidneys, wake up, let's go. So, in my own process, I started, okay, I know hypnosis, I know meditation, so I started tuning into my kidneys, and I asked them, hey, what's going on? Why aren't you going? They're like, I failed. It's like this whole, like, I failed, giving up, and part of it was the in leaving my relationship, my partner, I also moved from Portland to Salt Lake. So I also lost my business. I had a full-time hypnosis practice when I was there. And so not only, like, I really had nothing in that window of time. We didn't have a lot of money. He had, like, the house was his, the property was his. And so when I moved out, I lost my partner. I lost the house. We had 5 acres. I lost the dog, the cat. I didn't want to move it. I didn't know where, my cat was a little outdoor cat. And so I felt like I lost everything. And I landed in Utah with a car full of clothes. And my brother let me stay with him. So I was just like, oh, there's nothing, And realized my kidneys had kind of internalized that sense of failure. So I had to talk to them. And I use this metaphor of the bicycle. So again, it's kind of how do we talk to the unconscious mind? Metaphor, symbolism, imagery, story. So this is a great metaphor for failure. and it comes from one of my colleagues from the Northwest. And so I'll kind of just walk you guys through it so it's a little interactive. So think about this idea of failure. And a lot of people have this fear of failure, this idea of failure, right? But think about a six-year-old boy. Think about your six-year-old learning to ride a bicycle. How many chances do you get to learn to ride a bicycle?
How many can you?
As many as it takes. And if the six-year-old falls off the bicycle, would you say they had failed?
No.
Because they're still in the process of learning and growing and figuring it out. And so the next time they get on the bicycle, well, and even when they fall off the bicycle, the brain is learning. The brain is learning about coordination, muscle movement, momentum, and balance. So the next time they get on the bicycle, they're even more prepared to be more successful. In fact, they become more and more capable with every try. So there really is no failure. This is like an NLP principle. There's no failure. There's only feedback. There's only, did you get the results you wanted or did you not? If you didn't get the results you wanted, try again. Create a new result, right? So in meditation, I went down talking to my kidneys. There's no failure. It's just a bicycle, and I gave them each a bicycle. I'm like, are you willing? Did the agreement. Are you willing to work on just getting back to, and they're like, okay, we'll try. And then from there, my kidneys started to improve. Within 2 months, I was off dialysis. Because I don't understand how people live after doing a transplant, you know.
Did you do that every day?
I did. Well, I didn't exactly do the same script. I would just have meditation time, tune into my body, and ask, hey, kidneys, how are you guys doing? You're working that bicycle? Good job. You know, you want to, like, recognize your intelligence that is running your body. It responds to how you think about it. It responds to what we say to it. How many women, especially, are giving their bodies negative messages? Oh, my body's doing this, and it's doing that, and I don't like this, and I don't like that. So just giving yourself some positive affirmations and positive messages can help the healing process as well. So basically, kind of that headache cure, I kind of did it for myself in my internal system, and things were able to shift and turn around. Kind of, it also needed some hope. What is there to work for in rebuilding life, you know? Okay, so let's go ahead and go through. Oh, this will take us right to time. So we'll do it kind of quickly. So one of the easiest ways to get yourself into hypnosis or self-hypnosis is eye fixation. So go ahead and holding your head forward, take your eyes up to the ceiling. Or even some people holding your head forward, eyes up. So you might even think about just focusing on your third eye. That's another good way to do it. So you're seeing your forehead, right? As if you're looking through your forehead. As you hold that focus, you're going to notice that your eyelids are getting tired, as if they would like to close, as if they would like to relax. And you all know the wonderful relaxing state of hypnosis. And I'm going to count from 1 to 3, and as I do, allow your eyelids to close just as slowly as you can. And 3, begin to close, and 2, and 1, closing your eyes. You're feeling that relaxation wash through your eyelids, letting it transfer through your face, and letting it just pour through your entire body. Letting it wash through your neck, through your shoulders. And as that relaxation is flowing from the top of your head to the bottoms of your feet. Now, I also like to take a couple deep breaths. Take in a deep breath. Breathe in. And exhale. Just let go of the day. And another deep breath. Breathing in. Filling your lungs. Gather out stress, tension, and release the breath. as if you're relaxing into your own inner world as you release the breath. And now I'm just noticing that easy flow of breath. As you notice that easy flow of breath, now also noticing a healing light, much like the light of the sun, shining down through the top of your head. You can feel it wash through your face. This is that healing light. It is washing through your brain, letting it just package up and clear out any mental clutter. You can send that out to be recycled. And you can feel that lightness pouring through your head, through your face, through your neck, feeling it wash through your neck, into your shoulders, through your shoulders. As that healing lightness is flowing down through your arms, to your elbows, through your forearms, to your wrists, and your fingertips. And everywhere that healing light flows, you can feel it soaking in to your cells and tissues with that deep relaxation. As you feel that healing light just soaking in, notice as that lightness is washing down through your back. You can feel it as it's pouring down through your spine, as it flows through your back, and now through your chest, feeling it wash even through the core of you. Again, just let it clear out any of the mental clutter, sending it out to recycle as that healing lightness is washing through your body, sending it through your stomach, through your pelvis, all the way through your thighs, to your knees, to your ankles, to the bottoms of your feet. And just notice that feeling of that lightness washing through. And now notice that you can direct that healing lightness into any place of your body. And imagine now as if you could turn your eyes inward and just scan through your body. As you feel that healing lightness pouring through, and imagine looking through your body. Just notice if there is any area of your body that's looking dark, that's looking, maybe there's a shape, a color in your body, maybe there's a place where that lightness isn't flowing in. As you look through your body, that place that's kind of darker is just a place that needs extra attention or support. So as you see that place, go ahead and just give me a nod of your head. Very good. And now, everybody got one? Nod of your head, wonderful. And now in your mind's eye, if you could just shrink yourself smaller and smaller, imagine traveling through your body all the way to that place of your body that could use that extra support. And tuning into that place, ask it, what does it want? What does it need? It could be a practical image. Oh, a glass of water. Maybe it just shows a shape. Maybe it's just a sense of something. Maybe there's a feeling. You might even just reach into it to explore the feeling. What does it want? Give me a nod of your head when you have an answer or a sense of something that you could give it that could help that area. Wonderful. Tuning in. Now in your mind's eye, you can imagine sending that healing light into that part and creating an image what it wants. Maybe it wants peace. Maybe it wants something practical like rest. Maybe it wants confidence, feeling stronger within yourself. Give it that image. Give me a nod of your head when you have an image in mind to give it. Wonderful. As you give it that image, notice
how it begins to shift and how it feels, maybe the energy of it, maybe the shape of it, maybe the feeling of it. Let it take on that image of what it wants. Most of everything in our mind-body system comes to a feeling. Rest is good, practical solution, but what's the higher feeling of rest? Relief, quiet space, peace. Notice the feeling. Let that feeling radiate through that part. How does it feel now? Give me a nod of your head. As it feels like it's integrating that better feeling. As it feels that support, you can send that feeling light around it.
Sometimes I like to imagine giving it like a blanket.
And now we're going to ask that part, is it willing and able to continue running healing programs for you in a way that works with the other systems of your body? Again, a nod of your head or headed back. You can come to this inner awareness anytime to tune into your own mind and body system. And we're going to travel all the way back. I'm going to count from 3 to 1, 3. Thanking your body for working with you, thanking your mind for working with you, and adopting better and better strategies. And 2, then you might even tell your body, thank you for working with me. I appreciate everything that you're doing so many things well. And usually there's 1 or 2 things that get the focus, right? The problem often gets the focus, but our whole body is doing everything so well. And 2, 1, all the way back, go ahead and open your eyes, all the way back to your everyday awareness. How are you doing? I'm seeing smiles. Wonderful. Okay. Is there someone after us?
No, but they're ready to go. They'll leave this place.
Okay. So while you guys are filling out your feedback forms and doing those slips, we'll go ahead and go through some questions. Questions. So the number for the class 32031. I'll write it in black.
Thanks.
So it might come out a little. And if you give me less than a 5, just tell me what I can improve. Okay. 32031. Questions? Oh, here's my contact. There are a couple more slides we didn't get to. That's fine. And I do have an advanced training program. I've taken kind of these multiple layers and decoding symptoms and put together a training. It's a 2-day, so if you want a deeper dive, you can sign up at thebraintrainerllc.com/book. And when you sign in, it'll give you access to those placebo research documentaries. The training is coming up October 18th, 19th. It is an online class. So you won't need to travel. It will be recorded. But we're doing a deep dive into the foundational training. And then we're looking at untangling the patterns of the unconscious mind. Understanding kind of more of that body language. What is your body trying to tell you? Releasing internalized stressors. The secrets of mind-body-spirit activations. And then aligning, like, some of why our body is going through illness is not, there's reasons for it. Sometimes we have a higher reason. Sometimes we're working something through our system that relates to our spirit self, our soul self.
Do you have a book?
I do. It's called The Miracle Code.
The Miracle Code, okay.
See, it's in the corner right there. The Miracle Code, I released this last year. Is my longer story, but I kind of go through different levels that
I wanted other people to have hope that they could kind of untangle mind, body, spirit stuff. So it's written like body and then health first, you know, diet, what can I control first, and then mind, and then into some of the spiritual stuff. Past lives did also have an effect for me as well.
And did you have a Facebook page, did you say?
Yes. So if you signed in here to the book, I'll send you guys the link to the Facebook groups. It's Luminaries. Luminaries NLP Hypnosis Group.
Thank you.
That's your,
thank you. Do you have your email address or is that's your website?
Yep. So my email is the Holly. Yep. At the brain trainer LLC.com. I had a state there. Hey, thank you, everybody. Yeah.
Is that where you can find that training?
Huh?
That address. Is that where you can find that training?
It will give you, when you sign in there, it'll give you the access to these placebo effect research documentaries. It's totally fascinating. And then I will also send a hello from class, and I can send those out.
Okay.
I mean,
thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
I was just trying to find your old one.
October 18th through 19th, we're doing the deeper dive into untangling mind-body patterns and decoding health issues.
I couldn't find the group. Is it right?
Luminaries.
Yeah.
Oh, I could join
too.
Thank you, everybody.
Do you send
out
emails or
no? I do. You can either email me here, or if you sign in here, thebraintrainerllc.com.
You didn't send around a list.
No. If you signed in there, I will send out.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Not at all. Even the dial into it is like not.
Thank you. Hey. What's that? I had a bunch of postcards that I had printed up, and I couldn't find them before I came to class. I must have left them somewhere.
You can bring them to the host desk.
Okay, yeah.
And I think they have some on my host desk. What did you say?
Like,
I don't
know.
You're just lazy. I don't want to say
anything.
Yeah, no.
Thank you.
Have you not given any?
I I mean, we paid for this one in Vegas last day. I didn't see anything.
I'm not sure.
What are your names?
Okay. I would definitely contact the
headquarters. Yeah, I'm sorry. I left our badge in the car.
If there are any of the members, like Eric or...
Yeah, we met briefly this morning, didn't we?
Jay.
We had a conversation about resilience.
You can ask them.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think it's a good point. Like, different groomed people would respond to the word differently.
Okay.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you.
Thank
really
you
good.
Very much.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Well, that's the end of the conference.
Yeah. The class is perfect, you know? Perfect way to finish
it. That's it.
Unless you're doing the most class.
Yeah, we can post on the phone. Yeah, we can.
I'm not, but
yeah.
Come on to them.
My eyes are super English.
You
sound pretty good.
No, it's great. Give
yeah,
me a
just
question.
Talking like, you know.
Really
but I need to catch more ones. And then start doing like people psychology English.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I don't
yeah.
There are
What's your mobile number?
Yeah.
It's not.
I don't know if it's on there.
So can I have your WhatsApp or mobile?
Better. I text you my number.
You can type it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I didn't. Sorry, I'm sorry. I did not write the country code.
Oh,
sorry,
country code. Oh, yeah, you're in WhatsApp. No. One. Okay. 5633510021.
Okay, I'll just.
And then if you send me a text,
yep.
then I'll save your number. I don't even answer my phone anymore. I get so many spam calls.
Yep.
Like if it's important, they'll leave a message.
Yep.